My questions, though, are around, I basically want to know, can you rank evolution by species?
Oh, again, it's like ranking cultures or anything. It's only in just very, very, very broad, generic ways. And it's like Gene Gebser's archaic, magic, mythic, rational, integral. On a certain way, that says a lot. But if you actually look at it, it doesn't say very much at all. It just says, over a 50,000-year period, we see these kinds of shifts sort of happening. But anything that's going on within those epochs could be much higher or much lower than that average. And the same is true whether we're talking about capacities of sexes or races or species. It's usually the variations within those are much greater than the variations between them. And so the same thing happens with species. What you have to do is back off very, very far and have a look. And then can you say that a chimpanzee has a higher cognitive capacity than a paramecium? Yes, I think you can say that. And that's not a bad thing to say. So you can make those kinds of ranking judgments, but you have to be very careful about it. And given the fact that there are levels and lines in species, some species, like we're talking about the dolphin, do really quite well in certain capacities, maybe better than us, but not as well in other capacities, like culinary, for example, or basketball. We're very good on the basketball scale. So you just have to be careful about that. And I realize why the question is asked about ranking, because it's the thing that people worry about most when they see these scales, these levels, these hierarchies. But I think the one consistent thing that my answer has shown is that it's so much more complex than that, that you can only do rankings in very, very specific ways. You have to have just a single developmental line or stream, and then you have to look very carefully at the stages in it, and then you can say, yes, this stage is higher than this stage. A molecule is higher than an atom in that developmental scale. But organisms contain all of these different lines and levels and all sorts of things going on, and certainly cultures do. So it becomes very, very hard to make just blanket kind of ranking statements. And that's actually, developmentalists tend to be almost less inclined to do that than other people, because they know how incredibly subtle and complicated it is.
In addition to the worrying that the rankings could be inaccurate, I'm also attempting to debunk some of the, my dog is an enlightened master.
Oh.
I mean, is that true? Could the dog be at this incredibly high level of development, but in a dog suit?
Well, I'm thinking about some of my friends again.
Some of their dogs?
And the dogs. Well, Ramana Maharshi claimed his mule was. I'm not going to sit as a blanket statement, say, rule that out as a possibility. However, 99.99% of the jackasses I know are not enlightened, and I don't think that comes with the territory. I don't think they're enlightened sages in a jackass disguise. I think they're jackasses in a jackass body, and that's pretty much summarized the whole situation. You mentioned earlier, can a tolku, be reborn as an infant and be enlightened as an infant? I said, sure, but the infant's body still goes through its own stages of growth and development, and tolkus don't bypass that either. That's just tolkus are ones who are residing as the witness already when they're born, but they don't change what happens in the gross, subtle, and causal bodies. Those still have their own stages to unfold, and it's very much the case that if you look at things like a dog and so on, the great preponderance of evidence is that they're probably not a higher being hiding out in a dog body. That some sage could accidentally take a turn in the Bardo and end up as Fido. I'm not going to get in an argument about that. I don't think it happens, but I'm not going to, get in a knockdown about it. It's not a good proposition to bet on.
Do you think dogs could be more developed on a certain developmental line than humans?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. The whole sensory kinesthetic realm, it's just mammals other than humans are astonishing, generally, what they can do, the sensory capacities, and other types as well. Certain birds and certain fishes, bats. A bloodhound can detect one part per billion smell. I mean, it's just astonishing, some of those capacities. But those are all generally what we call gross body capacities. And subtle and causal body capacities are simply rarer. They just don't happen as often in quote, lower forms of evolution. But again, the whole point about stages of evolution is that all of them are important because even the, quote, lower stages we have inside of us. I mean, we have a reptilian brainstem. We have lizard body inside of us. We have a limbic system, which is a paleo-mammalian brainstem. We have a horse brain inside of us. And we have a neocortex as well. So all those previous stages are something we carry with us. Those aren't things you get rid of and they're lower and that they're horrible. They're spirit's expression at that wave of unfolding. And so there's spirit as atom, spirit as molecule, spirit as cell, spirit as organism, spirit as reptilian brain, spirit as mammalian, spirit as triune brain. And each of those are stages of spirit's unfolding, and each stage transcends and includes its predecessors. It envelops them, just as molecules envelop atoms and cells envelop molecules. And that enveloping is part of evolution. It's transcend and include. It's agape. It's this increasing embrace that we see in all these developmental lines, this increasing expansion of identity that we saw even with Carol Gilligan's line of selfish to care to universal care. These stages of evolution are stages of increasing care, complexity, consciousness, compassion. And that's from atoms to enlightened sages. So all of them are in a sense, fundamental ingredients of the overall process. Doesn't mean a jackass is enlightened. It doesn't necessarily have to work that way.
Before we leave the jackasses, what about something like the wisdom of a tree? I sat next to this tree. The tree was 1,000 years old. I put my hands on the tree, and I could hear it speak to me, and it spoke of all of this wisdom. Is this just the imagination?
Well, I don't want to dismiss it quite like that. What, in a sense, what you have to try to do is say, look, whether it's this dog who might be enlightened, or this mule who might be enlightened, or the wisdom of the tree, that we're not. There's no denying that there's a nature mysticism. We've talked about that. And there's no denying that in the nature mystic state, a very authentic dimension of being, that spirit is radiating through every single thing in nature and speaking through every single thing in nature. So spirit radiates through an atom, it radiates through a cell, it radiates through a tree, it radiates through a dog, it radiates through a gorilla. But that's part of it. That sort of ground value is there. And some people can plug into that sort of world soul or spirit through a particular organic form. It could be a tree for some people. For other people, it's a mountain. Other people, it's an ocean, a cloud, a river, and so on. So I think that's very authentic. But then you also have to say, okay, now on the relative plane, whether we're talking about a tree or a dog or a chimpanzee or so on, what is their actual capacity to engage in altruistic behavior, for example? If you take this dog that's enlightened and you put a pile of food here and you put a hungry dog here, is it going to give its food to the other dog? No, it's not going to happen. So on the relative plane, they're egocentric. There's no sharing, altruistic, compassionate self-sacrifice. In that sense, not a consciously done activity. So on that particular developmental line, it's pretty low. It's not very high in terms of its capacity. So I think you have to kind of, again, keep both of these scales in mind and not just use one or just use the other. And if you do that, again, you get a little bit more integral kind of view of this. But I certainly wouldn't deny that people can connect to a world soul or spirit through any object in nature. But that's not the spirit that existed prior to the Big Bang. That's still not the unmanifest, infinite, formless realm. That spirit shining through the manifest realm or form, which is its own expression. But it's not formless spirit itself. And that also has to be kept in mind.